Now let's continue what we started last time. I hope we'll be able to finish it today. We have been on faith basics from the beginning of the year, and it's been quite interesting. I've been enjoying myself. And what we have been doing, of course, again, is to reestablish what foundations there are in Christianity. My wife was saying something earlier when she was leading the prayers. She said that it's as if the fear of God has departed away from church. And actually what led to it was we went somewhere this morning and we're talking in the car. A number of things, I can't remember the things we said, but one of the things I said that those days when you gave your life to Christ, when you said you were born again, it's a serious matter. Those who were not serious didn't used to start it, because you had to give up so many things. You give up your shirt. If you have so many colors, you have to give it up. If you were wearing lace, you gave it up. If you were perming your hair, you gave it up. If you're wearing jewelry, you gave it up. If you're wearing makeup, you gave it up. If you used to dance, you stopped dancing. So before somebody gets reborn, like they used to say those days, was a serious matter. All right, so we said a lot of those things actually that men practiced were not Christianity. Now, I'm not saying they were wrong, all right? I just said they were not Christianity, all right? But that these days, we grew and we learned that some of those things were not necessary. The only problem is that now, many people now come to church that refuse to give their lives to Christ, because now church is fashionable. And that's why the fear of God seems to have run away. So much that, you see, the gospel of prosperity, let me not digress from my message for today anyway. The gospel of prosperity is a good message. If you believe that, say amen. But the problem with learning too much prosperity is that covetousness tends to, anytime God plants wheat, some strange seeds are also sown beside it. And the one that normally follows the gospel of prosperity when it is preached is that covetousness sets in. And that tends to drive away some good things, all right, from the lives of the people. So anyway, why I'm just bringing up the matter is that that's why we have to go back and start laying what foundations there are to faith. That we must understand that faith is not the way by which we get things in life. We are not in competition. We're not trying to succeed like the world succeeds. Many years ago, I used to worry about that, in quotes, also, that why is it that the richest man in the world or the richest people on the earth are not Christians? That what does that say about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? And, you know, anyway, in recent times, God has helped me to understand that God is saying, in effect, I'm not in that race. I'm not competing with anybody. All right? If I say a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, why should Wall Street Journal or what they call it, Forbes, tell me who is the richest? I am saying it doesn't matter what the man gathers. So God is not into that race at all. So a lot of times we think that faith is the method by which we settle down and got the things that we wanted. But we have discovered that that's not what faith really is. It was an error for us to go in that direction. It was an error. Faith basically is the way by which we connect with the will of God for our lives. That's what faith is. All right, we used to say that anything you ask God for, he will give you. When you look back and I say that statement does not make sense. I have children. They can't boast that everything that they ask their father for, he will give them. Not because I'm incapacitated, it's just because some things are not good for them. All right? That's a simple thing. So we thought that faith, that if you don't get something from God, it is simply because you did not have enough faith to harass it out of him. And I said something, you have to be careful. And I'm going to talk about something along that line today again, just to remind us of some things we have said here and there. If you harass God enough, you can get things that are not good for you. Do you hear what I said? If you harass him enough, he can give you things even though they are not good for you. He said they lusted for meat in the wilderness. So he gave them meat to satisfy their lust. But that was accompanied by leanness, disease into their souls. Are you getting my point? So you see, you have to learn how to judge testimonies. Faith is not the way by which I get just anything that comes to my mind. No. Faith is the way by which I connect with the will of God for my life. God has a will in every situation. God has a will concerning what I can eat and what I can't eat, what I can have and what I can't have. It's not that once I decide that I want something, I must get it. No. The most important thing about faith is that I'm connected with the will of God for my life. That's number one thing about faith. That's what I just want to lay those foundations again, all right? So last time I began to talk about the balanced Christian life. Can you remember that? And I want to continue that today, and I hope I'll be able to finish it. The issue of balance. being the key to life. I was quoting from the sayings of Ed Cole. Ed Cole said, balance is the key to life. And we took a number of scriptures. Let's read the most important one to continue again today from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It's very important. Balance. I was saying something earlier that the problem, you know, I said those when I was in secondary school many years ago, I remember a Bible teacher one went in secondary school. In fact, I was telling my wife today when we were discussing that men, people needed to love God to follow some people. Anyway, when I was in secondary school, my Bible teacher, teaches Bible now. Then he was out. It was part of this old time holiness movement. I mean, they practice asceticism. You know, they call asceticism. When he said the world is not my home, that's not what they meant. They meant the world was evil. The world is not my home is different from the world is very evil. They refuse to take anything that appeared like pleasure. I remember that my teacher bought a new pair of sandals and he refused to wear it because the old ones were torn and the new ones were not torn. So you continue wearing the old ones. And his shirts his clothes were always dirty. He wouldn't change his shirts. And in fact, he had, what we commonly call eczema. All right? Which, even as young children, we had leaves we could rub into our hands on the ground from the fields and rub it on it and cure it. Not to talk about sulfur ointment, mitigal ointment, very cheap medicines available everywhere. Including just bathing regularly, aggressively for some time. All those things were easy to cure it, but he wouldn't cure it. You know why? Because it was a matter of pride. And one of his friends, I remember, took pride. I was in secondary school at this time when Idi Agbon and Buhari just took over from Shagari. So one of his friends took pride in the fact that he did not know who Idi Agbon was. And as young as I was then, that was 1985. It was early 86. I was shocked that a man, all right, would take pride in the fact that he did not know the name of the second in command in the Federation. But that's part of the holiness movement. Are you getting my point? This world was not your home. Nigeria was not your country. All right, everything. That was really, really. But let me tell you the truth, though. We still learned the fear of God. The man used to preach with fire in his bones. We used to go for Bible study. I was in boarding house. Wake me up at 5 a.m. You go and clap and sing because there was a senior in the hostel. You go and clap and sing. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. You'll be falling asleep. I've been a believer for a long time, but don't try me. All right. Hey, is this 87? No, that's 86. Did I even say 85? That was 83. I mean, 85, I was in university. What are you talking about? 83. Yeah, 83 was when Idi Agbon took over from Idi Agbon and Buhari took over from Shagari. Not 85. I was thinking 85. I was already in 86. I was already in Deeper Life on campus, University of Benin. yeah, Pastor, you went to Deeper Life at the time? Yes, I did. I did. Some of you are wondering. Yes, I did. All right, the Lord is good. Anyways, the point I'm just making here is this: so those days, I mean. People now, of course, after a while from campus days, I began to learn the word of faith and they will realize that some things are not necessary. I mean, you can wear nice shirts, you can look nice, you can perfume your body. Jesus was not allergic to Amani. I mean, it's in the scriptures. All right. How do I know? They poured perfume on him Hugo Boss doesn't have anything as expensive as that. And he didn't complain. It's just one of those things. I mean, we learned it. This is the problem. They said that from these things don't matter, people became excessively into those things that were really of the world until the church became worldly. So like in Hagin, we say the problem with the church is to maintain a balance. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's the problem with human beings, not the church, human beings generally, to maintain a balance. If you tell people that it does not, that God is not looking on the outside, he's looking on the inside. This one happened while I was on campus. In those days, women had to dress in a particular fashion and wear certain length of robes and everything. And then when you now say, it didn't matter. Hey, you get the fellowship. To praise God, you have to look up throughout. Because the women were so poorly dressed. You were embarrassed. Because they said it did not matter. And we'll talk on as we go on talking about the matter of balance. Does God care about what you wear? Believe me, I think it does. Yes. Because, you see, in life you make statements by everything that you do. Everything makes a statement. There was a garb up my wife got recently for me. I wore it, looked at the mirror. I said, baby, come. Where will I wear this? We're laughing. I said, this is only fit for a musician. That if I show up, if I should say, the last place you wear this is Kingdom World Ministry. I said, of course. I mean, like Americans say, bling, bling, bling everywhere. I was shining so much. I said, baby girl, this is not in keeping with teaching the word. Thank you very much. Give it back to whoever sold it to you. Now, is it evil? No, it was not evil. Do you get my point? It just didn't fit. That's just an example. Many things in life don't fit. Are you getting my point? That's the way it works. All right? So in life, we must learn to strike a balance. It's very important. It's very important. The major problem is that people, once you correct them about one thing, all right, they throw everything attached to that thing away. They throw away, like the Englishman says, the baby with the bathwater. If something is bad, you throw everything connected to it away. Sometimes it's just that part that is bad, that you can remove it and preserve that which is good. It's like culture. There's something to learn in virtually every culture. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. But sometimes, like give you an example now, Western culture, initially, of course, because of our heritage of backwardness and poverty, we thought everything Americans did, all right, was okay. So we learned to, I mean, initially it was good to learn some things from them, all right, how to have your eyes open and all of that. Let me give an example about relationship, all right. You saw that the white man and his white wife, they had very good interaction. They held hands. They held waist. You understand my point? When they are walking on the road, they hugged themselves in public and it was good. Amen. Then we decided that everything that the African man did was bad. So all the respect that by culture the women had for their husbands, we packaged it, threw everything away, and learned all the bad habits from the Western world. To hug your wife in public, is it good? Very good. To kiss your wife openly and let everybody know this is mine and not yours is very good. To hold hands as you walk on the road is very good. To enjoy life with the wife of thy youth is very good. To throw away respect that a woman is supposed to have for her husband because you have learned this other one is very bad. So the Bible says, where we are going to read now again, he said, grab onto one and don't let go of the other. Quickly, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. For example, I was born in Western Nigeria. My parents are of the Yoruba extraction. Many of the things I've done there, I don't do. All right? But one of the ones I learned that is very good is that Yorubas are known for showing a lot of respect for their elders. I found that in the scriptures, that is the word of God. God commanded the Jews. He said, thou shalt rise before the aged and bow thy head before the gray-headed. Are you getting my point? Yes. Some of you will find it very funny. My wife kneels down every morning to greet me. I don't look like that. She doesn't look like that. You think so? But ask her. She does. You see, you say, Pastor, this will be funky, Pastor. I'm still a godly husband. Yes. One day I went to my barber, and I went with my oldest child, Akinlu. So, in a normal way, hey, old boy, how are you? He proceeded and greeted the first person. And I'm like, hey, young boy, how are you doing? He proceeded, bowed again, and greeted the person. So they said, your father must be a Yoruba man. That was a comment. I said, it's a good thing. Better learn it. Better learn it. One day I was on the bus. This was in Houston, Texas. And the bus was full, and an elderly woman walked in. I looked at her, got up from my seat, and gave her my seat. And they said, oh, that was very kind of you. I said, I will slap your face. Didn't you see her coming? That was very kind of me. And you don't get respect. Where I come from, it's not possible. You can't sit when an elder is standing. You want to die young? You can't sit where an elder is standing. One day in the University of Benin, I was in this campus. We had this campus shuttle that just move around the campus. So I was sitting at home, and there were a lot of secondary school kids. That time, they just closed, and they were on the bus. And one man walked in, and all the seats were taken. He looked at a small boy close to him, knocked the boy in the head, and threw him off the seat. And sat down. And began to abuse all the children. He said, this is why I respect Yoruba people. He said, if it was a Yoruba boss now, very many people have jumped from their seats so that I can find the seat. How can I enter an old man like me will stand? All of you are sitting there. And I not get respect. Are you getting my point? Yes. It's the will of God. There are a lot of things in our culture that are not good. If you know all this Owambe party, waste money, you know, just be ostentatious. Yes, it's a heritage of Yoruba man in Nigeria. That's why when you want to waste money, they say Owambe. It's a Yoruba word, which means it happened. I mean, some will spend themselves into bankruptcy just to show off that they can afford to declare a party. That is not the will of God. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So you learn to throw some things that are wrong away. And if you see something that is good, you learn it. And like I said before, that we do the things that are right because they are right. And this one thing we have, the word of God, that gives us a good guide. We know that which is good and we know that which is wrong. Let's read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It said, from verse 15, I have seen during my lifetime of futility, there is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. For that reason, he says, do not be overly righteous and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Do not be excessively wicked. Verse 17, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? He said, it is good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. And that's where I'm going, verse 18. It is good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. Let me just stop there. Quickly open to the book of Psalm. Let's read Romans 14. We read all these things last time, but it's good we keep reading them. We are doing a Bible study. Romans chapter 14. I'll read two verses. It said, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from a full persuasion inside a man's soul, that is from faith, he said, is what? Sin. And this was a conclusion, all right, of many things he has said about the issue of food. That some people still hold on to certain forms of worship. And say certain kinds of food are bad and certain kinds of food are okay. And then Paul said that those that have full understanding and are strong in their faith, they shouldn't, because of what they know, all right, disturb other people. This is the most important thing, that verse 23. That you, if you are not persuaded about something, don't do it. Whatever you will do must be born out of what? Faith. All right. Now, please don't note that. I have a few more scriptures I want to read, but let me just leave this, all right, for now. But there's one important one I must read so I can continue talking without much interruption. Proverbs chapter 19. Now, why did we read this Ecclesiastes chapter 17? Just to emphasize that thing again. In life, we must learn to hold on to one and not let go of the other. Let me continue to pass my comments from where I stopped last time. Then we'll read out Proverbs chapter 19, which is the main thing I want to introduce today. Just open there and then leave it. The book of Proverbs chapter 19, all right? Just open it and then leave it. Now, let me just continue what I was saying. So when it says, hold on to one and don't let go of the other, all right? This is the principle I want to explain to us. In the last time, we began to explain the issue of, should Christians do this? Should they not do that? And I said that most things in life, all right, you really do not have a firm answer to give under those circumstances. Last time, we read also from the book of Acts chapter 15 about the letter that the council in Jerusalem sent to the Gentile churches. And in it, don't forget, they are discussed whether the Jews and the Gentiles should be taught Judaism as part of their worship of God under Christianity. And the whole council of apostles said no. What we need to tell them is that they should depart from idolatry, depart from sexual immorality, depart from eating things that are strangled, things that have blood. And I said that if you do these basic things, you will do well. Do you understand? It will be okay with you. And I use that one to explain a principle that what happens is that there are certain things that are basic to Christianity. Most other things that we talk about are not basic to Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are not. They are applied. You know, every time if you see life science, there are basic sciences, and then there are what? Applied sciences. That is what happens, that we learn the basic things. They will not learn how to apply them. For example, the same current that powers your air conditioner, as an example, and produces cold air, they will go into a heater and produce hot air. Are you getting my point? They will grow into a microwave oven and produce waves, you know? They go into a filament bulb and produce light. And it's the same electricity. That is, they are applied, and what they produce vary depending on the situation that they find themselves in. That is the electric current, all right? Now, what am I saying? That is, when we understand the basic things about Christianity, you will discover that, like he said in that Jeremiah 31, that no one will need to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, that this is what God wants you to do. Let me say something to us again. Christians are not meant to be led by prophets. Do you hear what I said? A prophet is not supposed to come and tell you, do this and do that. In fact, what I have understood as of today is that if a prophet comes to me, and a genuine prophet, and says to me, this is the word of God, it must do one of two things. One, I will only act upon it if it is confirming that which I already knew or was already strongly suspecting. Otherwise, I hold it and pocket it. I don't throw it away. I'm waiting for a confirmation. I will not act upon the word of a stranger. I don't care how anointed he is. Because men have acted upon words of strangers, and God have punished them. All right? God has punished them because of the action upon the word of a so-called prophet. I'm not going to go over that again. Go and read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I described how the widow of Zarephath knew that Elijah was genuine. All right? Now, I'm just trying to bring out an issue. So what happens is that there is a spirit inside me. It's called the spirit of Christ, all right? And that's actually what leads me in what I'm supposed to do. So this is how it is. If I learn the basic things about Christianity, when I get to each point in life, I will know that which I'm supposed to do. Now, there's a problem with laws. Like I said last time, they are very simple. But a lot of times, they don't work. And laws that work in America, oftentimes they get down to Nigeria, they don't work. So this is the point, all right? When he says, hold on to one and do not let go of the other. This is what I want to bring out. I want us to understand. These are how Christians are supposed to walk, all right? Listen, you keep on learning the ways of God. Now, God has ways. God has methods. God has principles. Now, these are the basic sciences we are talking about. There are ways by which God thinks. There are ways by which he behaves. There are certain principles that guide his actions, which he wants us to learn. That is why sometimes people will tell me, God said to me, you've heard me say it before. I was barely finishing saying, I just brush my hair. I say, God said to you, forget my friend, God does not smoke. You know, you just ignored, you know, just brush the thing away sometimes. Now, there are times in which I feel that God may have spoken to the person. Other times, I think the person is lying to himself, which is very common in Christianity. I'm sorry to say this. 90% of what God said to me that I hear these days, God didn't say anything to anybody. That's 90%, I withdraw it. I meant 98%. I hear it every day. And then God began to speak to me. Listen, go and read the Bible. You know a man can talk to himself. David will say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He will turn to his soul. Soul, put your faith, put your trust in God. You talk to yourself a lot. And you think there are two people inside you. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. What I'm telling you is what? A matter of fact. Don't harass anybody when God spoke to you. If he speaks to you, act by it. If he produces result, we will know who spoke to you. Don't harass me. Alright? Now, please, what am I saying? What we are supposed to do is to learn the ways of God. And we become transformed, you know? So that's why people will tell me something sometimes. God spoke to them. And I wonder that, why would God tell you that kind of thing? And then based on what we have, he said, hold on to one and don't let go of the other. At each point in time, both of the things, all the things we have learned, they congeal, all right, and produce a result. Let me explain what I'm saying. I was saying something earlier. There was a time that people said, Christians shouldn't do this, children shouldn't do that, Christians shouldn't do this. And then another time came in which people of the world of faith, that was the predominant thing in Nigeria, said those things don't matter. God looks on the inside, all right? He does not look on the outside. And they were quoting from what God said to Samuel when he was going to anoint David. But listen, So what we did was to throw away everything holiness movement. In fact, those days when I was on campus, a good teacher, because then, that's another thing, teachers came into the body of Christ. All of them taught faith. And this is what good teachers used to do. Good in quotes now. That good is in apostrophe, all right? It's in inverted commas, sorry. The good is quoted. When you come, you first give us one Greek, one Hebrew word, that word is hesed. Everybody say hesed. It means holy. Actually, it's from the root word, and you say, boys who didn't go anywhere beyond buying one or two concordance Bibles, you'll be teaching us Hebrew. All right? And then when you finish that, you now go down to the New Testament. The word salvation actually comes from the Greek word soteria, which means to save, to deliver, to heal, to make sound, is in Schofield Bible. We all cram it from there. All right? You go and get Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And then you, if you don't do that, you are not a teacher. This is on campus, all right? I don't do it for you today, all right? I've done it before, all right? Just that you outgrow some of these things, amen? Then the last thing you do, after you finish one Hebrew, two Greek words, you must hack a song, what we call hacking. You destroy one song or one practice that is common in the body of Christ. You come and say, if I was there one day when a man took this song and tore it to pieces. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Said that song is, you know, let me put new words to the things he said now. His Old Testament song, that rock of ages, cleft, you want to hide in him. The Bible says that your life is hid with Christ in God. Rock of ages does not need to cleft for you anymore. Now you are seated at the right side. Oh, whoa, 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 yeah, yeah. Childhood excitement, we get into it also. You understand my point? Yes, one man was preaching somewhere. He said, any believer still saying the Lord's Prayer is backsliding. We say all kinds of things. We will take songs and anything that's done in church. So people will raise their hands when they are worshiping the Lord. God is in your heart. How can you be raising your hand to somebody? We said all kinds of nonsense. Just to, you know, throw away that which is of the old. I have learned now that it was pure childishness. I'm sure, look, you know, God couldn't get depressed, even if he wanted to. Watching his children misbehave, he could not get depressed. He would just be laughing morning, afternoon, and night. He said, Gabriel, don't come again. What is the latest? They started speaking Hebrew. He said, where? In Nigeria. And the Lord couldn't ever get depressed for what? What am I saying? So what we did was to throw away every other thing. Now, of course, once you throw away that, you expose yourself to a lot of nonsense. You know why? Listen to me. No movement in the body of Christ has everything. None. And there is none that doesn't have something. That's a matter of fact. What should we have done? Say, hold on to one and don't let go of the other. Word of faith has come, grab it. Holiness teachings have come, grab them. Sorry, they were there before, grab them. Hold on to the two of them. Sometimes they will clash, let them resolve themselves. I don't know whether you get my point. If you, look, listen. I listen to, once you're a preacher, a true preacher, I don't mean a madman who that's pretending, you know, like Prophet T.B. Joshua, you know, that kind of person. I'm not talking about that. That one is not a Christian, all right? He's a man trying to make money from Pentecostalism, all right? But having left people that are out of their minds pretending to be preachers, no matter how crazy you are as a preacher, I will listen to you small first. You know my reason? Let me tell you my simple reason. God does not go around. You know, people say that God began to reveal to me. And when they start saying it, I say, God had to reveal this to you in 2010. Ken Hagin wrote it in 1985. Why should God reveal it to you in 2010? When you know that you're just stubborn and proud. You could have gone to Latana there or what do you call it, Hidden Treasures and bought a Ken Hagin book. What is God revealing to you again? You want to look spiritual? You know, people like to feel spiritual. They are the ones that actually annoy me. You've heard me. I'm not bragging. I will tell you where I read this from. I see preachers that keep on talking. I see them on TV. They will go and buy a Kenneth Copeland book or a Miles Monroe book. They will repeat everything that's inside it as if
I said, why can't you just give honor to whom honor is due? As he started preaching, I know the book they read. They said analyzing the scriptures, and you know the book they read. If you've been around for a while, listen. I've been teaching the Bible. Listen, I became a student of the world. Student, ardent student, 86, 87. I read my first Kenneth Hagin book in 86. Five Hindrances to Growth in Grace. I read it in 86. I mean, so, you know, so I sit and see with the dissecting, you know, talking about, you know, the book he read. There's nothing wrong with reading books. I read them. Why don't you just tell us, yesterday I was reading this book, it blessed me so much. What I want to preach to you today, most of it I took from it. Doesn't take anything away from you. God has revealed things to people before. And many things that you want to know or you need, more importantly, that you need to know, he's not going to tell you. He said, go and read. I told Oswald J. Smith this one about 100 years ago. He wrote a book that was published 75 years ago. It's been reprinted in Nigeria for your sake. Go and buy a copy. So what do I do? If I see something, and if I remember, I think I told this story before. Once I traveled and a book was being sold in my church, my friend's church that I went to go and preach. So I saw the book and I bought it. So it was kind of, to him, strange that, do you read this man? I said, no, I've never read him. So why are you buying the book? I said, you see, one day you'll get to heaven now. God will say that, did you know about this? I will say, no. He said, but my son, I told him, I didn't tell you. I said, there are things, you get my point, that this man is saying that you and I will never learn except we hear from him. God is not angry. It's just that he has made up his mind, you must go and hear from that person. Do you follow my point? So, what do I do? I mean, there was a time, I just decided that, look, I went and got a number of W.F. Kumuyi's tapes and listened to them. I'm not a deeper life man. I mean, I've been to the church before, but you know what I'm saying. But I still listen. He's on TV every day in my house. Occasionally, I tune and listen for some time. So if there's anything that only him knows, all right, then I will get it. Grab hold of one and don't let go of the other. I listen to people here and there so that I can grab everything. That is why some people that bless me a lot, I'm sorry to say this, are not as informed as I am. Do you know why? I listen to them and listen to other people, but they don't listen to anybody else. So all the ones that God gave them, I have got it. Then the one God gave their neighbor, I got it. But they did not listen to their neighbor. Do you follow the point I'm making? Actually, that thing was a sin in the Word of Faith movement. We were so proud. Just look as these people, my wife and I were analyzing some things today. There were people who suffered because of that. Pride. You feel you know everything. Why? And of course, we used to lie one lie to ourselves those days. Because our teachers taught us like that. As a Christian, all you need to read is your New Testament. If you've heard that before, say amen. You have not heard it before? That a Christian should spend more time on the New Testament than any other book, part of the Bible. If you've heard that before, say amen. That the New Testament was written to Christians, the Old Testament was written to Jews. You've not heard that before? Okay, in case you did not know, let me tell you now, it's not true. It's a lie. Paul said it clearly to us in the book of Romans that to the Jews were committed the oracles of God. They were not written to the Jews. They were committed to their hands to keep. And Peter said, those things angels long to look into. And that the very people who prophesied, all right, using the spirit of Christ that was in them, sought to know what was going on in these their prophecies. And the Holy Spirit said to them, it's not for you, it's for people that will come after you. What does that tell you? And Peter said that they wrote concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The glories are in Christianity. But they were written in Isaiah. That is, the glories were not there until Christ had suffered. But the prophecies were there before Christ suffered. See the lie we told ourselves? The first day I heard that preached, I still have the Bible till today. I went down, began to read the book of Isaiah. I'd never been blessed like that in my life. Hold on to one and don't let go of the other. Some people, as I've seen also, when they came into the knowledge of this truth like we're discussing now, they threw away everything that had to do with the word of faith and went back to something else. I said, that's not what God is saying. I don't listen to Kenneth Hagin or read Kenneth Hagin because he is 100% accurate. No! But because he's an apostle of faith, he's a prophet in this generation, and God gave him words to speak to me, I must hear those words, otherwise I'll be held accountable one day. Even Pastor Banky is accurate in everything he says? Of course not. I'm not accurate in everything I say, and I know it. One day a young man saw me in a cyber cafe one day, not too far from here. He recognized me and he walked up to greet me. Good afternoon, sir. You're Pastor Banky? I said, yes. Oh, I listen to you a lot on radio. I said, oh, that's very nice. They made a statement. He said, sometimes I find myself disagreeing with you. And God gave me a reply for him without thinking. I said, what did you expect? That you and I will agree on everything? And that was the end of the discussion. I said, it's natural. Is there anybody you agree with on everything? He got my point and encouraged me again. Keep up a good work, sir. And he left. Somebody sent us a message sometime ago. He said, I hear you preach heresy. I felt like telling him, that's your personal judgment. Go and listen to it. If you think it's heresy, may God be with you. I was on radio some time ago. When I preached the power of death and the deliverance that's in Christ Jesus, I'd never seen that amount of anger against my ministry in my life. Why? Because a lot of preachers are out there who feed on deliverance. And I said it boldly. People don't need that kind of deliverance. And actually, those kind of deliverances don't work. I told them, people were sending, one man actually said that I should go and pray so that God will reveal to me. I said, obviously, you know what he's going to reveal to me. What am I going to say? Listen, I don't expect everybody to agree with me. But if you now say you won't listen to me, that's when I know you have a mental problem. Yes, you don't have to agree with me on everything. But listen, I'm not bragging. There are words I speak you will never, ever in your life hear from anybody else. Not because I'm too good, but because indeed I'm a messenger of God. And the word that you need in that area, you put in my mouth. Better hear from me or your life will never meet up to what God wants it to be. Listen, everybody has a part in God's book. And your part can be cut short or fulfilled fully. And the amount of fulfillment you receive, it depends upon the amount of word that God sends to you and you accept. If God put your word in my mouth and you divert, say you don't like the color of my skin, you're in trouble. That's why I told you some time ago. A man was preaching. I have his CDs, MP3. In fact, it's from him I got the concept of doing MP3 CDs. The man speaks as if his assignment in life is to make the thing he's explaining more difficult to understand. I don't know why he talks like that. Things that are simple, they are common words, already exist, but he will invent new words. Do you get my point? Now, I complained about that. Then the man, of course, he recorded these messages long ago. All right? Then he will insult black people, talk about how black people are of low intelligence. I'll complain about that to my wife also. Then he will say another thing, I'll complain to my wife. My wife now said, please, why are you bothering? With all of these complaints you have against this bubble, why are you bothering to listen to him? I said, sweetheart, there are things that only him will say. Let me hear them, then I can forget all these other ones that is insulting my father, insulting my mother, insulting my friends, insulting me. So it doesn't matter. Indeed, I learned a lot of things from him. After that, when I finished learning everything, I can now push away all the books and tapes from and all the insults. But I won't let the insult deny me of what I'm supposed to learn from him. Hold on to one and don't let go of the other. That's what I'm trying to explain. What's the principle? What God expects from us is that, listen, you have heard the word of holiness. There is something in it. Forget. You see, listen, every time God sows seeds, all right, the enemy will come and sow his own paraphernalia around it so as to corrupt it. When the holiness thing came up, there were things. In fact, the best way, go and listen to those who started it. You know the things they were saying. A lot of those who carried it further down, they've missed the main point. They are the ones that now start adding all those extras that God did not send them to. So, try your best. Listen to it. Hold it. Then add the other one, the word of faith, when it comes, add it together. You will see some things, they will knock themselves out. Do you get my point? That's what it means by those who are pleasing to God will come forth with both of them. Some things will knock themselves out. So you will get the best of the holiness movement. You will get the best of the word of faith movement. Are you getting my point? In fact, there was some... anyway, somebody told me long ago that he saw a woman of the holiness movement. And I'm thinking about it now. That's a very wise person. He took a Ken Hagin magazine and cut away all the pictures of Ken Hagin Jr., Lynette Hagin, that's all their wives. And the person said, why? He said, because they had makeup and jewelry. But the, cut away the photo. But the word, the person did jack up. Cut away the pictures. I'm serious. Do you understand my point? Like a man collecting Pastor Banky's videos and said, I don't like his look. He blanked his TV. You follow my point? But he's listening to the words. Say, I don't like what the way that guy moves, the way he talks, you know, all right? His appearance, I don't like it. But while listening to him, nah, I bet the guy, they talk something where I need to. So, you close the television and you put your ear. It's go hold on to one and don't let go of the other. It's good. What am I saying of these things? When we have learned the ways of God, do you get my point? God has his ways. Then under certain circumstances, all right, we will start doing things that may be unique to us. Somebody else who we may think at first is under the same kind of situation, we do something differently, and then both of you will get the blessing of God. Let me, I'm going to get practical at this particular point in time. But let me quickly go into this, all right? I'm talking about the issue of testimonies. Proverbs chapter 19. Balance, we said, is what? The key to life. The number one way by which you can strike balance, all right, is to listen to both sides of the story. You know that? The best way to get the balance is to listen to both sides of the story. In fact, the Bible says it like this, that the first to state his case seems just until another comes and examines him. And that's what we practice today in our court of law. And that's what you must practice in your life. Hear both sides of the story. This is a simple way. Keep on reading and learning the ways of God. It's very crucial. Because, you know the way I talk about money matters, tithing matter, offering matter? Do you know somebody got the impression that I was saying Christians did not need to give? Don't be angry. That's just life. Until I did a seminar here, and the brother walked up to me and said, oh, finally I get the point you're making. When I did the seminar, your money. He said, now I've gotten the point you're making. A lot of time people hear half of the truth. Let me give an example now. Most of you, in fact, if you don't know this by now, I'm surprised. You know I don't believe in this doctrine of tithing that's common in the body of Christ. You know I don't. Most people know that, all right? Finally, I wrote it in a book. Is that okay? But I've had the conviction for more than 15 years, all right? So it's not today. And it's not just out of, person just won't believe. I studied. Go and read out my book. You know, all right? I took time out to show you things I learned over the years, all right? Now, I want to bring out an issue. Do you get one? A lot of people here, they just hear. Pastor Bang doesn't believe in tithing. Okay, now, that's the end of it. Okay. Everybody that believes in tithing, anything the person says about money is wrong. As far as they are concerned. So, they don't believe in offering. They don't believe in giving. They use my words to return to selfishness. When God in heaven knows that that's not what I said. In fact, in that book, when I was writing, I had to put a small disclaimer at the beginning. That if you read this and you start giving less, you have missed my point. I have to put that disclaimer because I know people. And listen, I don't care because I told the truth. Are you getting my point? I told the truth, so I don't care. Because like one of my friends said, I wrote in that book, he said, if it is the truth, it must be told. I said, I only wrote the book so as to liberate you into the, what do you call it, the generosity that's in liberty, the liberty of generosity. That's how I said it. That a man who gets my point, he gives more than a man who tithes. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Like I said last time, law is very simple. Law is simple. The man who knows the truth, all right? He said, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The man who knows the truth, he has the grace of God to walk in it. Now, so what we'll do, they just take one and then discard the whole thing. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. I said we should open somewhere, right? Yeah, Proverbs 19, verse 2. He said, also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. Proverbs 19, verse 2. Who has an NIV there? What did he say? Without knowledge. Thank you. NIV says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge. Go and read that in Mark chapter 4. He said, the kingdom of God is like a seed. No, okay. No, also Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. The parable of the sower. There are different kinds of seeds, different kinds of, the same kind of seed, different kinds of soils, alright? The heart is a different, the soil, alright? He said something about the heart. Please listen to this. He said, if you plant in a shallow earth, no deepness of earth, what happens to it? It springs up what? It springs up what? Quickly. If you plant on the surface, the birds of the air come eat it. If you plant in the one that's rocky, so it does not have depth of earth, what happens? It springs up quickly. Those that take quick action don't have depth. Did you hear what I said? That's what I tell you all the time. If a pastor says, you must come now, come and give the money now, he just wants to rip you off. You hear what I said? You hear what I said? I'm sorry. That's just, but unfortunately, it's the truth. You must make a commitment now. Right now. Right now. We do it on television. Go to the phone. Go to the phone. Go to the phone. I'm sorry to say, that's not right. If you want to give in the manner that you'll be blessed, better sit down and think. Because the Bible says that you will get, if you, he said, let's not get weary of doing good. Because in due season, we will reap our reward. What's the next line? What's the next line? If we do not faint. That is, if I do a good work, heavy, then I faint shortly after, I don't reap any reward. If I pressurize you quickly to make a decision, hey, give your house, give your house, then you give it. The next day, start saying, why did I give my house? Oh, you have lost the reward. Therefore, don't be stupid. Never give your house in a hurry. You can't be make any 10,000 naira a month. A man puts pressure on you to give 50,000 naira, and in 1 minute, you're stupid enough to get up and make the commitment. I see it on television. I see it everywhere. It's arrogant madness. Then the next day, the man comes to preach to you that if you make a vow and you don't pay, God will punish you. I would just laugh. You know, children are the ones tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Promise heaven and earth, this guy ain't shifting. Threaten fire and brimstone, I'm not answering you. The Bible says I'm supposed to give as I have purposed in my heart. If your message cannot bring purpose to my heart, forget it. Those that act quickly don't have depth. They have not thought properly. They are the ones that come and ask for a refund. Yeah. Ah, you haven't seen it before. They their people, it's their wives that will give the offering. The husband will come and say, "Pastor, please forget this side. That woman is not all right." And the truth is that women are more emotional. I tell my wife all the time, I say, "You know, God sent me to cool you down." "Hey, giddy, giddy, giddy." I say, "Baby, relax. Sit down. Wait first. Let this heat blow over. Then you think properly. Then you realize that, thank God I have my husband. He didn't let me act yesterday." Now, why am I saying all of these things? Zeal. Normally, when people hear one side of a story, you get my point, they run off. Like, you hear something happen. In fact, there's a story. Well, let me not tell too many stories. But this is very common. If something happened in public, like bomb blast now happened in Abuja, our independence celebration, you already have your opinion of who blew the blast and who blasted the bomb. You already have your opinion. I can assure you of one thing. There's nobody here that knows what really happened. You only know what Guardian wants you to know. Or whoever controls the media, you only know what they want you to know. One day I was telling my wife, you know Robert Mugabe? Yes, I was one man, I'm still one man that have never looked at the man as a wicked soul. I can't. You know Robert Mugabe? I don't know why people say he's wicked. He says his country is underdeveloped. Uh-huh. Is this the worst African country that's underdeveloped? These people are suffering. They are suffering because America and Great Britain tightened the noose to punish them. Robert Mugabe has been Robert Mugabe for decades. They did not suffer. They were they were the country that produced the best agricultural country in Africa with Robert Mugabe as president. Why did they suddenly start suffering when the man decided to reshare the land? If you know when you are being deceived by CNN and Euronews and all their international networks, then they will go and film. There's no food on the shelves. All the supermarkets are empty. All the markets are empty. So my wife, daddy was in there. How come? What is going on? I said, "Baby, don't be deceived. How many times have you shopped in Robans? When you want shop, where they go? No be Ogbete. May they carry you go their own Ogbete show, whether the place is empty. They carry goes big supermarket, which always becomes empty when you squeeze imports. You know now. In Africa, our supermarkets always become empty when you squeeze imports because our shelves are stocked with imported goods. As for yam, cassava, tomato, ugu, all those other things, the clothes that we sold, they are not in supermarkets, though. They are in the open market. I have never seen CNN show me Zimbabwean open market. I told my wife, look at the two sides of the story. Don't let them deceive you. Robert Mugabe is only bad, I'm sorry to say, because America stopped liking his person. The only thing wrong with him is that Great Britain didn't like him anymore. That's all. And of course, naturally, he fights his enemies. Have you ever seen an African leader that does not fight his enemy? You will see that and Morgan Shangara will take you over. For what? Even America won't accept that. Am I campaigning for Robert Mugabe? No. Did he come to Nigeria to seek election? He's not looking for your vote. I'm just telling you that what happens is that is you tend to believe those that first bring forth their case. And I'm telling you, as Christians, you keep reading. You keep gathering your information. Don't even believe everything I've told you and change your whole life overnight because of it. Yes. Hear it. But like I said, don't throw it away. The one you knew before, if it was founded upon the setting of Christianity, don't throw it away also. Let the two of them collide in your heart. Meditate upon them. Listen, because you have the Spirit of Christ, some things will just come out and you will know this is life. Are you getting my point? Let me go and talk about the matter of zeal further. It says, for a man to be without knowledge, it says zeal, all right? I like the way it's in that NIV. It says, zeal without what? Knowledge is not good. He said, for a man to be without knowledge, my Bible says, is not good. And he that makes haste with his feet runs into error. Now listen, Christians. Our job is to gather proper understanding of the things of God and never to take actions in a hurry. That is the job of Christians. A Christian must continue to learn. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what happens is that all the information that you have inside you, when a point comes, now I said along the way, I wasn't talking about the matter of testimony, right? A point comes, suddenly you have to add one thing or the other together. And then a result of it, based on all the information that you have, is what dictates your action at that point. Don't forget, you are propelled by the Spirit of Christ. Because this is why I'm saying this. Let me quickly go into the matter of testimonies. Because you know, we're talking about balance, what? The key to life. A lot of Christian practices are founded upon people's testimonies. And that often tilts us out of balance. No, a man's life can be an example, but he cannot be a pattern for you to follow. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. A man's life can be an example, but it cannot be a pattern for you to follow. What I mean is this. Quickly, and let me not waste time reading it. But if you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which we all know, the hall of fame of faith. If you now end that Hebrews chapter 11, you now go to chapter 12. He now said that seeing that we have this so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily entangle us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes not on the cloud of witnesses, but on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. Now, this is why I read that. Because in the cloud of witnesses, you will read of David. Amen? If you follow David totally, you have to marry like four or five wives. See what I'm saying? His life is an example, but it's not a pattern for you to follow in its entirety. A lot of the people, Samson not there. Is Samson not there? By faith, he did all kinds of things. That's a good example of walking in faith. But bros, when it comes to woman, you and Samson, as a Christian, you have nothing in common. And he went to Gath, and there he saw a woman. And then he went there he saw a harlot. And then he went here, and then he saw a woman. Bros, if you follow and be seeing women everywhere you go, believe me, anointing or no anointing, you will die like Samson. And the Bible says clearly, an adulteress is only haunting what? Precious lives. See what I'm saying? That's why I said you fix your eyes on who? On Jesus. You want to learn something? There is something to learn in each person's life. There is. That is why I even quote people that are not even believers. If what they are saying is in accordance with God's principles, there is something to learn. In everybody's life, there is something. So the heroes of faith, there was something to learn in every one of their lives. At the end of the day, they wonder, say, oh boy, having learned all these things, fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, unconsciously, if the Bible speaks good about somebody, you think the man is a good man. I've told you, don't be deceived. There are a lot of righteous men who were not good men. Yes, you know, you say, what's the difference? The Bible says clearly, Paul was writing the book of Romans. He said, no man dies for a right, even for the righteous. He said, peradventure for a good man, some may even agree to die. Do you get my point? He said, but God died for the unrighteous. The unrighteous man is the opposite of the good and righteous. Now, what am I saying? There's a difference between a righteous man and a good man. What I say good now, a good man is a nice man. Is a friendly man. What happens sometimes that when we see the Bible talking about a righteous man, you think everything the man does is good. Listen, if you go and read the scriptures well, God tells you the thing that is good about him. And like I always say, leave the ones that the Bible did not comment about. some of the actions of Solomon, I've seen people draw up leadership principles on some wickedness of Solomon. Yeah, I'm telling you. This is just my opinion. Why he killed some of his brothers till tomorrow, I don't understand. Ask your brother to give me a wife. What's the big deal? You are not marrying the girl. Let somebody else marry the girl now. A brother of Solomon lost his head for asking for a woman. Is that good or bad? I have no idea. But please don't use it to teach me principle of how to consolidate your throne. I feel very bad slaughtering my half-brother because he asked for a girl that I'm not interested in marrying. Now, it's a person what I said. I'm going to tell you something. People, even though the Bible talks good about them, they may have something wrong with them. So don't just copy people entirely. Now, these are even Bible people. What about normal human beings of today? Because he's a man of God does not mean he has stopped being a man. He's still a man of God. He has not become a spirit of God or an angel of God. What is he? A man of God. Men misbehave. Did you hear what I said? Men do what? Misbehave. So you can see a man of God doing something. He doesn't mean he's no longer a prophet. Do you get my point? And it does not mean because he's a prophet, you can't disagree with him on other issues apart from prophecy. If it's prophecy, you can't disagree with him. If he says, thus says the Lord, bro, hear it. If you are not even sure the Lord said, just leave the matter. Don't comment on it. Don't say he's wrong. The other day when Pastor Nebakari said that something about the country, some people were saying that he's a false prophet. I said, may God not use your life to prove him as a right prophet too. Yeah, it's true. I know what I'm saying. If you go open your mouth to publicly call a true prophet a false prophet, God will sacrifice you just to prove that he's a true prophet. So, you agree or you don't agree, you go and buy zip in the market. Stitch one arm to the upper lip, stitch the other one to the lower lip, and zoom. Is he a true prophet? Now, are you getting my point? But when we leave matter of prophecy, if the man drives fast on the road, it's still against the law to cross a particular speed. I don't care whether the fellow is a pastor or not. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's crucial that we understand this. That we don't turn people's personal experiences, that's another side I'm going on to now, you don't turn people's personal experiences to the word of God. Which people do a lot in Christianity these days. I just want to explain that, you see, people can even be wrong, even though they are anointed. Now, an average Christian is even more likely to be wrong. More importantly, however, not whether it's wrong or right, is that the dealing of God in his life will be different from the dealing of God in your life. Let me say something to you here. I have so many things to say. Time is running. You've heard it said before, he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I say all the time, why does he waste words? Why did he not just say he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why did he say he's the God of Abraham, comma, the God of Isaac, semicolon, the God of Jacob, full stop? Why? It's a simple reason. Because when you look at Abraham, the God in his life does not look exactly the same like the God in the life of Isaac. When you look at God from the life of Jacob, you will think you are dealing with somebody entirely different. The God of Moses will take a prince and send him into the wilderness. Yet the God of Joseph will take a prisoner and send him into the throne. See what I'm saying? It is forbidden that Moses should say, after all, Joseph is my mate. At the age of 80, he has been on the throne forever. No. Moses had to go into the wilderness at the age of 40, stay there for 40 years, and return to deliver people at the age of 80 and never see the promised land. Are you getting my point? You know, one of the problems, how many of you know Bishop David Oyedepo? Many years ago, I heard him preach about why he stopped drinking Coke. That soft drinks generally. He said he used to drink too much of it. Then one day he told himself that this is not good for you. And he dropped coke and said, I'm not drinking again. Then one day I went into one of his branches, the branches of Winners, and I heard the local pastor say, you know in this church we don't drink coke? I said, my God, see me. I was there severally when Bishop explained, talking about the power of discipline and not using your hands to buy the thing you don't want to come to your body. He said, I want to live long. Why am I filling my body with sugar? You know, things like that. Then I heard a pastor say, you guys know, we'll talk that later. In this church, we don't drink coke. Hey. Oh, Sanobo. Which one is I don't drink coke? Bishop, explain why he doesn't drink coke. Why are you making it a law for the rest of the church? It's very crucial we say, I explain this. Because God's dealings in the lives of people, that's why I said, be careful how you judge testimonies. Because you give a man 15 minutes to tell his story, or even 200 pages to tell his story, what can he say about his background? In fact, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a man who plants a seed. He said, the earth brings, for he himself does not know how. Most men who tell stories don't even know how. That's when I said, then I woke up and I did this. Then breakthrough came. And I started laughing. 2 weeks ago, the guy cried all night. He didn't pray. He said, God. And God heard what? His cry. And sent blessing. But when the blessing came, he thought about the spiritual thing that he did. Remember that yesterday, he worshipped for 5 hours. And he waved his hands unto the Lord. And then he, in his mind, proposed a giant seed. And then he began to speak in other tongues. At the end of 8 hours of spiritual gymnastics, breakthrough came. Unfortunately, the angel took 2 weeks to arrive and could not have started the day he started his gymnastics. It was 2 weeks ago that he crossed his hands at night, put his head on his pillow, looked at his wife sleeping, looked at his children sleeping in the other room, and looked at the sufferings that they have suffered for his sake. And he cried to God. And God heard the voice of his cry, but to him it's not spiritual. Because what God hears in heaven, or maybe as the guy is looking at his wife and say, ah, God, and he's, you know, compassion towards the woman, compassion towards the children. He wasn't thinking about himself. And he muttered to himself, say, God, even if you won't bless me, please don't let these ones that depend on me suffer. And that's all that God heard. But to him, that's not spiritual. It's not now. There was no praise worship to enter into the gates. Do you get what I'm saying? There was nothing. It was just a simple cry at night, 12 midnight. What he did not know was that the Holy Spirit woke him up and said, cry to God. Then he cried to God 1 hour, 2 hours. And he fell back asleep. It was as if it was a dream. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, God broke through upon him mightily. And he said, what did I do? Ah, it was that yesterday's all night. In which I danced like David. Brethren, when you want to get your breakthrough, you will dance like David danced. Get up to your feet right now and begin to dance like David danced. And God will say, oh, this is my Alibabas. They have come again. Cracking jokes here and there. They don't know what really happened. That's why I said, you don't build doctrines on personal testimonies. You hear what I said? Please, oh, let no... Look, I said something on Tuesday. Don't say it is to me according to my faith, and anything I believe will happen. If the woman with the issue of blood had believed that she would touch the hem of Herod's garment, she would not have been healed, though. I hope you know. Herod was not carrying any anointing. I told you, Ahab said, I will go to Ramoth Gilead and I will conquer. Was that not what he said? It was his faith. In fact, he held the prophet in bondage. I will come back to release you myself. The prophet looks at, if you come back, I'm not the prophet. You know the rest of the story. He died there. What am I saying? It is important you believe that which is right. Don't just go around fooling yourself. Listen, balance the key to life. I'm not going to explain. What we do is that we take the word of God, we keep on soaking ourselves with it. How we behave under different circumstances, we cannot even tell until we get to that place. But there's a preparation of our hearts, which is only done by the imbibing of the word of God. That's what I'm saying. You can't just build your whole life on somebody else's testimony. I don't know. Oh, time is gone. Maybe if I may continue next time, but I don't know. But let me just say one or two things, then I close. A lot of people's stories, I was telling my wife today, some people have suffered for Christ, and then God has prospered them. They now start telling you the story of their sufferings, not knowing that a lot of their sufferings was sufferings of disobedience and ignorance. Yeah, I don't have time to go into that. Let me just summarize with one statement. Oswald Chambers said it like this. The sufferings of Jacob, were they necessary for the inheritance, the promise that God had for Jacob to come into his life? He said, no. He said, but for Jacob to inherit the promises, yes. That is, the inheritance was not tied to Jacob's sufferings. But Jacob, being Jacob, had to suffer to get it. That if Jacob was not Jacob, he would not have gone through what he's going through. Many of us are Isaacs. Do you get my point? And we have looked at the testimony of Jacob and decided we must go to Laban's house for 20 years. Meanwhile, you are not Jacob. You don't have the problems of Jacob. You don't have the stubbornness of Jacob. You don't have the craftiness of Jacob. God has looked at it that you don't need Laban. You are to me more like Isaac. So we want to build our whole life. That's why I'm talking about balance. So what happens? We will not create a denomination on the Jacob principles of prosperity. Praise the Lord. When you give your life to Christ, you will first go for 20 years. Brother Laban, you shall be the Laban in his life. The guy ain't Jacob. He's Isaac. There are those that their name is Moses or their name is Joseph. They think that, now that I'm on top, I must go down into the valley and into the wilderness. God said, my friend, I have finished doing that with Moses. You are not Moses. You are not Moses. You are not delivering anybody out of this land. This is their promised land. Your name is Joshua. Do you follow my point? That's why you cannot build anything on the lives of any other or on the life of any other person. But you can take examples from them. Are you getting my point? That is, in the time of suffering, how did Moses respond? And what did God say about it? Then becomes a testimony. In the time of suffering, how did Joseph respond? In the time of prosperity, that God blessed Joseph, how did he respond with his brothers? You learn those principles of God, then you start living your life, let me put it like this, normally. And what is normal to you is not what is normal to the unbeliever. You see, I don't want to sit on this matter for a very long time. In fact, I want to stop it because I can't even finish saying it. All right? Let me just stop it quickly. But go and listen to the series of messages I taught on something about knowing the will of God. And the different ones I spoke about here and there. All right? If you listen to them, you'll get the point I'm trying to make in some of the things I'm saying. All right? About how to know what God wants you to do and all of that. All right? How to build yourself up to a point where you understand God's will. Do you get my point? Like I said, as an example, people ask me that, what did God say to you? Did God speak to you concerning the woman you marry? And I said, yes. What did he say? I said, they said to me, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, it was the voice of God. I said, before that time, I married a woman that I liked. But the question is that, what kind of woman will you like? Are you getting my point? I would not have married a woman that comes and slaps me in the head, say, hey, small pastor, how are you doing? God knows that there are things I can't stand. No, God knows. I would not have married a woman that when I say, man, check out this revelation. And they say, see what Genevieve is wearing. You know that kind of thing. There are things that God knows that I just love it. If I say, have you heard Bishop Oyedepo is coming to town? He say, and they are showing that new movie at Silver Bell Cinema. I say, they go your Silver Bell Cinema. But what they go, School of Ministry. Obviously, our paths will never jam again. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So when I say that you walk normally, when I say you walk normally, I mean you walk according to the understanding you have come to, which is called walking by what? Faith. A lot of people are not walking by their faith. They are walking by their own personal unbelief, but by the faith of somebody else. He said, when our GO, when God said to our GO, or to our Papa, or to our Bishop, and you are looking at the idiot, that, all right, God said this to somebody 25 years ago in a corner of this planet where you were not present. How is that controlling your life today? A man said that God said to Ajio that he must never watch television. There were no plasma TVs that time. God was just spitting the man's eyes. Yeah, maybe. Now God has brought LED TVs. And you are still saying God said to your Ajio 25 years ago that you should never look at a plain screen. I don't know whether I get the point. You don't know why he said it. I said, Kenny Higgins said God said to him to live a fasted life. An American's fasted life is abundant prosperity for African children. I hope you know that. So when I was on campus, I saw brethren that were already thin like Somalis, living a fasted life. I said, please, how do you plan to do the will of God? Because right now, the little energy God gave to sustain your slim body, you have denied it. Why? Because an overweight American, God spoke to him to lose weight. You understand what I'm saying? And I know I've said many things. I hope you have learned something. Because myself, I don't even know what I have not said or what I have said now. What I'm just trying to tell you that balance is what? Balance is what? Balance is what? The key to life. The main thing I wanted to say today, which I ended up not sitting up, maybe I might talk about that next time. Or let me just make a statement about it and then we'll leave here. Is that a matter of zeal? Zeal, unbridled, is not a good thing for Christians. People brag about unbridled zeal and they make me laugh. You know what Christians are supposed to do with zeal? They keep it in check. Zeal is a sign of your love. You don't act on it though. I hope you get what I'm saying. When you're on fire for God, it's good. But what you go and do, look for an elder to help you use water to be pressing that fire down small, small. Because zeal is what makes a man misunderstand the timing of God. You've not seen young men say that, God called me to do business. An elder will say, wait, go and get a paid job for 2 years. Just 2 years. And he said, no, no. All right. Then he will do the business, collapse, owe everybody, the business will die. God's plan for his life has not yet ended. Amen. He will now go to the wilderness where he is forced to learn what God wanted to teach him at the beginning. He said, the zeal of the house has consumed me. You know what he does? It consumes people. I wish God would give you that revelation. When the zeal is not properly channeled, it wrecks people. It consumes them. I think because of time, and I think I have a new... that's what I want to talk about today, but we went... I hope you learned something, Sha. I hope your life is straighter than it used to be as a result of this teaching today. But really, I hope you learned something.